Please bow your heads with me for prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be in your house this morning, and we pray that the words that are spoken this morning will be your words and not mine, and help us always to be faithful to you. Amen. In 1988, Mr. and Mrs. Hutchison found it necessary to relocate from their home in New York to a new home in Indianapolis. After much deliberation, the couple decided that Oscar, their little beagle, would not go to Indiana with them. Instead, he would stay in New York. The Hutchinsons' grandson had become very attached to Oscar, and they felt Oscar would be happier if he could stay in familiar territory. So the Hutchinsons, after saying their goodbyes, got in the car and drove off. But Oscar was not at all happy with the new arrangement. He missed his friends. The four-year-old beagle had spent his entire life in his little neighborhood. Yet one day, he set out to find his original owners. 7 months later, the Hutchinsons found Oscar on their doorstep. After traveling over 500 miles, he had lost considerable weight. His coat was dirty and his feet were worn and bleeding. But he was happy. He had reached his goal. He was home again with the people he loved the most. We all like going home. But home is not merely the building that houses our possessions. Sure, it's nice to sleep in our own bed and be in familiar surroundings. But mostly importantly, home is where the heart is. Home is being with those you love the most. Oscar knew who he loved the most. As Christians, we know that this world is not our home. Our home is being prepared for us by the one who loves us the most. Please turn in your Bibles with me to John 14, 1-3. This is a well-known text, John 14, 1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So when Jesus said that he went to prepare a place, a very real place, he meant just what he said. It is not all clouds and glory. It will have physical environment and physical surroundings with a real surface or body. He is offering each a home to live in for all eternity, a special place just for us. God is inviting each one of us to his kingdom. He wants us to enjoy and experience it with him. He loves us so much that he wants us to be there with him. But this invitation is not just for an out-of-this-world weekend getaway with accommodations in a palace, guest room, or a five-star hotel. He has something far more permanent in mind. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Our citizenship is already in heaven, but God doesn't stop with providing us with a home. God will also give us glorious immortal bodies. There is no detail he has overlooked. Please turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Not only will our bodies be transformed, we will also be reunited with our loved ones. Together we can enjoy all the wonders that God has prepared. In Selected Messages, Volume 3, by Ellen G. White, page 316, we are told, God's greatest gift is Christ, whose life is ours, given for us. He died for us and was raised for us, that we might come forth from the tomb to a glorious companionship with heavenly angels, to meet our loved ones and to recognize their faces. For the Christ-likeness does not destroy their image, but transforms it into his glorious image. Every saint connected in family relationship here will know each other there. Please turn in your Bibles with me to Revelation 21, verse 3. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. God himself shall be with us and be our God. The best part of heaven is being together with God. But what has he in store for us does not stop there. There will be no shortage of activities in heaven either. In Patriarchs and Prophets, page 730, Mrs. White writes, In the earth made new, the redeemed will engage in the occupations and pleasures that brought happiness to Adam and Eve. The Eden life will be lived, the life in garden and field. Please turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah 65, 21 to 23. Isaiah 65, 21 to 23. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. We shall lovingly serve our God forever and enjoy the closest fellowship with him. Even now, God is gracious enough to give us glimpses of what he has in store for us. Grizz, a grizzly bear cub in the wilds of Montana, was hit by a train. Found unconscious by a Native American Indian tribe, Grizz was sent to an animal rehabilitation center in Oregon. For weeks, the staff cared for the little bear's injuries. By the time he was well enough to leave, his caretakers realized that he was too tame to survive in the wild. Grizz stayed at the center and grew to weigh 650 pounds. One morning, when he enjoyed his feed bucket filled with fruit, vegetables, chicken, and roadkill venison, a tiny orange kitten crawled into Grizz's pen. Dave, the director of the center, spied the kitten at the same time that Grizz did. "Oh no," thought Dave. "Grizz is going to have that kitten for lunch. There is no way he could rescue the kitten in time," so he braced himself. Grizz reached into his food bucket and pulled out a chicken wing and set it on the ground for the kitten. The kitten pounced on the meat and finished it off. Then Grizz reached into his bucket and pulled out a few more treats for the kitten. Later that day, the kitten crawled up on the bear's chest and took a nap. From that time on, the bear and the kitten became best of friends. They shared Grizz's food and even played together. The kitten, which was named Cat, would hide behind the trees in the bear's living area. When Grizz came by, Cat would jump out and tag Grizz on the nose. Visitors loved to watch as Grizz carried Cat in his mouth or gave him a piggyback ride. Grizz and Cat were just a preview of what it will be like in the new earth. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, peace was replaced by fear and hate. Won't it be wonderful when lions and lambs, bears and kittens, and people can live in friendship again? Please turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah 65, verse 25. Isaiah 65, verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. God's new kingdom will be one of tranquil peace. Even the animals will live in perfect harmony. Next, turn in your Bibles with me to Ezekiel 47, verse 12. Ezekiel 47, verse 12. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. We will enjoy never-fading flowers, trees, and heavenly food. In Education, page 303 and 307, Ellen White writes, "There, when the veil that darkens our vision shall be removed, and our eyes shall behold the world of beauty of which we now catch glimpses through the microscope, when we look at the glories of the heaven, now scanned afar through the telescope, when the plight of sin removed, the whole earth will appear in the beauty of the Lord our God. What a field will open to our study! There the student of science may read the records of creation and discern no reminders of the law of evil. He may listen to the music of nature's voices and detect no note of wailing or undertone of sorrow. All the treasures of the universe will open to the study of God's children. With unutterable delight, we will enter into the joy and the wisdom of unfallen beings. We shall share the treasures gained through ages upon ages spent in contemplation of God's handiwork. We will constantly be learning new things from our new surroundings, acquaintances, and from God Himself." Turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, will remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. We will continue to celebrate Sabbath in heaven. What an awesome worship service that will be, with the whole universe praising God together. There will be all kinds of interesting people to meet. Please turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew 8:11. Matthew 8:11. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. We shall fellowship with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the greatest minds of the ages forever. From Testimonies, Volume 5 by Ellen G. White, page 702 and 703, we read, there are mysteries in the plan of redemption, the humiliation of the Son of God, that he might be found in fashion as a man, the wonderful love and condescension of the Father in yielding up his Son, that are to the heavenly angels subjects of continual amazement. And these will be the study of the redeemed through eternal ages. As they contemplate the work of God in creation and redemption, new truth will continually unfold to the wondering and delighted mind as they learn more and more of the wisdom, the love, and the power of God. Their minds will be constantly expanding, and their joy will continually increase. Our knowledge of God will grow along with our love for Him. We will also be able to express our joy more beautifully than we ever could before. Please turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah 35, verse 10. Isaiah 35, verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy in their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. According to this passage, there will be carefree singing. In Education, pages 307 to 309 by Ellen White, we read, there will be music there and song, such music and song as save in the visions of God, no mortal ear has heard or mind conceived. The song which ransomed ones will sing, the song of their experience, will declare the glory of God. Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are thy ways, thou King of the ages. Who shall not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. Please turn in your Bibles to Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord our God in your midst, the Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. We will listen to God sing. The Great Controversy, page 678, tells us that in the years of eternity as they roll will bring richer and still more glorious revelations of God and of Christ. As knowledge is progressive, so will love, reverence, and happiness increase. The more men learn of God, the greater will be the admiration of his character. As Jesus opens before them the riches of redemption and the amazing achievements in the great controversy with Satan, the hearts of the ransomed thrill with more fervent devotion and with more rapturous joy. They sweep the harps of gold, and 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of voices unite to swell the glorious chorus of praise. Some townsfolks were digging a well, and things were going along fine. It wouldn't be long until everyone would be rewarded for their hard work. But having access to all the pure cold water they needed and wanted, only one person was still at the bottom of the well when it happened. Suddenly, the earth gave way, and a great mound of dirt and stones tumbled into the hole, covering the lone man. A very serious accident indeed. Did the people slowly gather around and discuss the situation for half an hour, trying to decide what to do? No, this was a situation that demanded instant action. Furious digging was begun immediately. Some who were not armed with shovels raced into the town to spread the alarm and gather other volunteers. Everybody dropped whatever he was doing and hurried to the scene. Farmers, mechanics, storekeepers, lawyers, all kinds of people left their work to help. Eager hands carried ropes, ladders, and shovels. In every mind there was one thought: save him. Finally, the workers were able to push a pipe down, and someone shouted through it for the man to answer if he was alive. As the crowd waited, it seemed that no one even breathed. And then came a reply, faint, but understandable: I'm alive, but do hurry. It is fearful in here. Does this seem like too much effort just for one man's life? Of course not, you may say. A life, anyone's life, is important, and this is true. But isn't it interesting that people will do anything to save their own or another person's mortal life, which is bound to end in a few years anyway, and yet we go on unconcernedly doing little or nothing to help ourselves and others gain eternal life? This situation, like that of the man in the well, demands instant action. There is not a moment to lose. We who are heaven-bound must not hesitate in yielding our lives to Jesus. We must not for a minute let down our guard against bad habits, sinful thoughts and words, or anything that prevent us from receiving that grand prize of all time, eternal life. The whole purpose of our incredible journey is to reach heaven, our real home. For there we will be reunited with Jesus, the one we love the most. There will be hardships as we travel, and we may even be tempted to just give up and go back to where we started. But if we make heaven our top priority, Jesus will guide us all the way. Please turn in your Bibles with me to our scripture reading, 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Not even in its wildest dreams can the heart of man begin to comprehend the marvels of God's eternal kingdom. All that Adam lost will be restored. Heaven will be far more glorious and rewarding than anything we can possibly imagine. God wants each of us to enjoy eternity with him. He paid a very high price to ensure that we could. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now is the time to get ready. Now is the time to get our family, friends, neighbors, and co-workers ready too. I don't want to miss out, do you? The invitation is simple. Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." For our closing song, let us turn to number 626. In a little while, we're going home.